Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to
Hello,
be
shoppers, all right. And welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. Welcome to the special edition, the best of the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT as you and I and all of us are enjoying our toiki. Yes, Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh. One of my absolute favorite holidays. I'm sure it is yours too. Did you get enough turkey? Did you get enough dressing and cranberries and stuffing and starches and like probably 30 kinds of potatoes? Sure, you didn't think they could cook potatoes that different, many different ways, but yeah, you probably discovered that. And you're probably still eating, you know, if you're sort of grazing as they continue. In fact, why even put anything away? Of course, there's spoilage, but yeah, just keep on and eating, and that's what it's all about. How fun is that? It is the best of the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show this fine Saturday morning, and going to play some of my favorite interviews over the past, well, since January when we started the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. Till then, first though, you know, retail, how was your Black Friday? Did you do some shopping that day? Did you dare to venture out? Did you dare to get in line at midnight at, Toys R Us and the Walmarts and the Jordan Creek Mall opened at midnight and huge lines. In fact, they're saying across the country the retail looks good, that it was a good Black Friday. Retailers are optimistic, and on this Saturday, the shopping is continuing. A lot of crowds forming. And my contention, as I talk about this in trading, customer service trading, is that much of our shopping is driven by socialization, a drive, a need, a want to be around people, to be see their smiley faces, to see their happiness, to see their joy. Now, having said that, you may have seen less of that if you've been out shopping, and you may have felt less of it yourself. And so please cut people extra slack, including ourselves. Be more patient than you normally would if you're going to venture out and go shopping. That customer or that employee behind the counter or engaging, they're working like crazy, working harder than they normally would, trying to keep up with everything. And of course, we still expect them to be happy. We'd still like to see the smile on their face following pillars of great customer service that I teach. But more than anything, in each one of us, take ownership of, you know, just I need to be more patient. I need to just chill out. I'll get it. It'll happen. I'll get the Tickle Me Elmo or whatever the hot toy. You can tell how dated that is. That was like hot about 10 years ago. So I've obviously lost track of all the trends that have been happening in the toy industry for what's hot. Holiday buying season. And of course, you'll hear the Christmas music too. That'll start up, that'll amp up and ramp up just about every place you go. Well, one person who was born amped up and ramped up from a joy standpoint was my great joy to meet her, be introduced to her completely by accident. Wonderful story that I wrote a blog post about. And you can read those blog posts and Secret Shopper reviews and other things we talk about here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show by going to www.theunsecretshopper.com, and posts are there on a regular basis. And this was from 3 or 4 weeks ago, I believe, when I met an extraordinary woman whose smile caught my attention, and I found out there was much more to her story than what met the eye. Our story about Virginia Wiggins. Good morning, Virginia.
Morning.
Virginia, talk about where you grew up in a Kinsley, Kansas. You grew up there. How big a town was it? Tell me a little bit about growing up.
Not very big. Probably about the size, probably 1,800 people. Not very big.
So a little town, western Kansas, west of Wichita, about 120 miles as the crow flies.
Yep.
What was that like? Tell me about brothers. You have brothers, sisters, siblings?
I have one older brother and one younger brother and an older sister.
So was your upbringing in rural Kansas like most of ours here in the Midwest? Or did you live on a farm? Tell me about it.
We lived in town in Kinsley till I was about 5 years old, and then we moved to Greensburg, Kansas, which is where the tornado took it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Mercy, listen, you were not good luck Virginia there for a while.
No, definitely definitely not. But it didn't hit till after I moved out, so that was all right.
All right, very, very, very good. And so, upbringing, your parents. I mean, sort of a straw man of a question, but happy childhood, happy family, yeah. Close family.
Yes, very close. We lived in really small houses, and they always say love grows better in small houses.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. I love that. Fantastic. So when you got to 18, just to, so we have more background. So, and I know the story really happens way before all this, and we're going to get to sort of that pinion point in your life, which is you were a young child. But after 18, you went on, and so what did you do? You go to college? Tell me about it.
I went to a junior college for about a year and a half. I met my husband in Hutchinson, Kansas. Started working at a quick shop. It's a convenience store. And we started dating, and then we got married, moved to Wichita, Kansas for about a year, and then we moved up to Iowa.
So convenience stores are kind of a focal point of your life, I'm hearing here.
Yeah, that's where I started, and that's where I'm at now, and I've moved on to other things, and I've never really been happy unless I'm at a customer service point. That's kind of where I've been happy the most.
Well, that is particularly music to my ears, of course. As you know, I'm as a customer service trainer. We'd love to hear the people. How did you, that penchant for wanting to engage people and be friendly and have customer service driven, when did you sort of know that that was going to be your sort of your path in life?
When I'd walk into a place and people weren't smiling and were kind of, their disposition wasn't as friendly. And I thought, you know what, it'd be nice to walk into a place and people were smiling and happy. And then I always, you know, thought maybe that's what I'd want to go into and bring my happiness to other people.
Absolutely. And I suppose part of it was you figured, all right, you could complain about it, but nobody's listening, or you could actually go do something about it.
Exactly.
Well, Virginia, the pinion point, the moment in your life, and I know you've had many, many great moments. You've shared some of those with me, and but the moment that sort of obviously is the focal point of our conversation was when you were a year and a half old, and you were traveling with your family. And I understand it was your mother, your aunt, your brother, and your sister. Correct?
Correct.
And this is when the spring of 1976 for us old timers who were actually alive then.
And I talked to my mom, and it was she used to know the exact day, but she doesn't anymore. She said it was she thought it was April in 1976.
You know, I'm trying to think what probably Moonlight Feels Right by Starbuck was on the radio. Disco was sort of in its infancy, and trying to put ourselves in. I think Network was a movie that was out then. I should have done my little bit more homework on that year. But oh, and then the Freedom Train, the Liberty Bell train, was making its way because it was the 200th anniversary of the Liberty Bell, I believe. Yeah, or 1776.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 1976. So all that was sort of happening. So you're a year and a half old. This is probably April of 76. And do we know why you're out in the car? Do we know what the trip was about? What was going on?
We were just heading to my aunt's house, my aunt that was driving. We were just heading from our house to her house. And back then, you didn't put your kids in car seats. You just threw them in the car, and you just went. It was just right down the street. You just didn't think.
What kind of car was it? Do you know?
My mom said it. She thought it was an old Pontiac, but she just didn't remember the model again. You know.
Sure.
So, parents, when they get older, they forget things.
Sure. So it's a big old, probably a big old beast of a car, a big old Pontiac.
Oh, yeah,
and
huge.
You're throwing it in there, and you've got those huge seats. And do you know what, were you in the front or the back of the car?
I was in the front seat with my aunt and my mom.
So you're in the front seat, a year and a half old, and like you said, 76, who knew? The child safety seats, none there, and no one is buckled in either, correct?
Nope.
So you're traveling, and how far was it, if you know, between your mom's house and your aunt's house?
Maybe 6-8 blocks.
Unbelievable.
Not very far.
6-8 blocks between them, right there in the same community. And on those same series of roads that day is a gentleman who is a local guy?
Yes, he's local.
Local guy who, understand later, you found out that he had been to a liquor store in town and bought some booze, but he had actually been drinking before he went there.
Right, yeah. The liquor store guy had told my mom later on after this had happened that he was already intoxicated when he sold him the alcohol, yes.
So obviously that happens. If all of this would have happened today, I imagine a lot of things would have probably ended up a lot differently on a lot of different levels.
I probably wouldn't have been hurt near as bad because I would have been in a car seat, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I'm sure he would have been prosecuted big time, and you know, a lot of things would have been different.
And, of course, people are wondering that maybe didn't read the blog post at theunsecretshopper.com, but what we're leading up to. My guest this morning is Virginia Wiggins. She joins us this morning on 1350 KRNT. And so you're driving, you're traveling, just wandering down the road, not a care in the world, 6 to 8 block trip. And all of a sudden, your car is run into. Was it a head-on collision, do you know?
Yes.
Head-on.
Yeah, he swerved over the middle of the line, and he just hit his head on. Yep.
And did they have a sense of how fast he was going? How fast everyone was going at the time?
My mom couldn't remember that part.
So he rams the car that your aunt is behind the wheel, and
correct.
And your aunt is so unfortunately killed in that accident.
Correct.
Was she killed at the scene? Do you know? Did she?
Yes. Died instantly.
And your brother and sister were both injured, as well as your mother. Talk about their injuries a little bit.
My brother and my sister were in the back seat. My brother broke his leg and his collarbone, and my sister, all she got was a fat lip.
Wow.
So yeah, my brother was hurt more than my sister, but they were the two least hurt.
And the person, of course, other than the tragedy that befell your aunt, but the person who was hurt the worst was you.
Correct.
Talk about the injuries you sustained in that accident.
I hit the headrest on the back of my neck, and it broke the nerve that runs up and branches into the 5 nerves that controls your motor skills, your speech, and your movement all in your face. And it severed it, and when it grew back together crooked. So I have a feeling in it, and my speech works, but I don't have the movement in it, so I can't smile on that side.
Well, and we're going to get to the extraordinary of what you've just said, an extraordinary reality of who you are and who you've become since then and everything else. But when is the first, do you remember sort of like the moments when you first became cognizant that you had a paralysis on the right side of your face? Was there a sort of a moment that sticks out in your mind?
I think it's when I started school, having the kids make fun of me because I was different. Kids are very cruel when it comes to kids being different, whether it's having a paralyzation on your face or kids wearing glasses, not having as much money as one other person compared to the next, just somebody being different. Kids can pick on that. And back then, the teachers weren't quite as into being nice to your fellow man as they are today, and how that stems on how people are in the future.
And so you went through, after the collision, you went through substantial amount of, I would assume, physical therapy and speech therapy.
Correct.
And did that therapy continue on through your cognitive, through the years that you're aware of? I mean, do you remember doing that therapy?
Once I got into school, it was more, the teachers more took that on. It was just more of a maybe like a year or two until I got into school.
And this is sort of an obvious question. Did you have felt sorry for yourself? I mean, there had to have been, why me?
Oh yeah, I got into that all the time. Well, you know, why me? What did I do wrong? You know. And then my mom would always tell me, "There are worse people in the world than you. You could have died." And I was talking with my mom, asking her a few questions about it, and she said that with my injuries and the way that I was hurt, the doctor told her straight out that it was I should have died. So I could have been worse off.
And so your mother, bless her heart, reminded you of that and taught you that, and you understood that at some point. And even through all the terrible teasing that children are so good at, unfortunately, through your formative years and as you grew up, and and you adapted, and you told me that you compensated. You, instead of going into a shell, which you could have done and been completely justified, and instead of staying in the basement or walling yourself off as a child, as an adult, you, at some point, you decided to do the opposite of that.
Yes, I decided to become social and just told them to, you know, I killed them with kindness is what my mom always told me. That was my big thing. It was that just, you know, tell them if they don't like it, they don't have to look at me. What she always told me.
Well, you tell you, I don't have to tell your mom is one smart cookie. Don't have to tell
yes,
you that.
She is.
Don't have to
she is. I didn't realize it when I was younger, but I tell her that every day.
Well, she's the imprint and the impact that she's had on you, and the impact had on you and your life.
Correct.
And the ripple effect of all of that is extraordinary. And you know, when tragedy befalls us, all we can do, I mean, there's a lot of ways we can go. The way you've went is amazing to me. And when I came into the store at the Get and Go, and this is the Get and Go at 2911 Douglas, you've been a manager there for about a month. Is that correct?
Correct. I've been with the company for about 5 years, and I just recently took over that store. I used to manage the one over on Grand in West Des Moines about 3 years ago.
The thing that was so extraordinary to me as I began to unravel your story and understand it better was that you caught my attention immediately when I came in. You were friendly, overtly. You greeted me. And, of course, I teach pillars of great customer service, and you were hitting them out of the park. I mean, just one after the other. You know, you were smiling. You were engaging. And when I brought my items back, you continued smiling, and I kept seeing you smile. And then I looked back up, and I noticed your smile, and it wasn't just that you were smiling, but your smile was that there was a difference in the way you smiled. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Right.
But what struck me, and then I remember leaving and thinking, wow, what a great story that is. Here's this person who's just extremely engaging. And I almost left. And I would have kicked myself from here to 7 to 8 ways a Sunday if I would have walked out of there and not talked to you. I came back in and thought this would be this nice little story, and instead, what you've told me is this amazing story of courage, triumph, everything, sort of just one of those stories that you just don't think happens, and it does happen. Do you look at yourself as a hero?
It's just something I deal with every day, and I just don't think about it.
What do you tell people? I teach people and train people all the time who are perfectly capable of smiling, who do not and make that choice not to. What do you tell? Do you ever tell people, like in a restaurant or a store you go in, you see the person at the counter who's not smiling? Do you ever say hello?
I'm like, you know what? It could always be worse.
Yeah.
You could be with this economy, you can be without a job. Be glad you have the job you have.
Well, we are so glad to have you on the show. They're so glad. They got to be thrilled to have you at Get and Go, working so hard and being just happy. And
yes.
And it's so good to see you that way. It's so good to see anyone that way. Just God bless you for being that person when you could have been so many other people. It's we're thankful for you, and thank you for being exactly who you are and for joining us this morning, Virginia.
Thank you very much.
Virginia Wiggins, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. What a great story. I just love that. As part of our Best Of Show, celebrating the best of interviews over the past 9-10 months now. Gosh, it's going to be a year in January that we've been on the air. I just absolutely love it. And appreciate your feedback as well. Anything you hear this morning or any show or any blog post you've read at theunsecretshopper.com, please Feel free to email me at Johnny, J-O-N-N-I-E, at theunsecretshopper.com. We also hire secret shoppers, constantly bringing new folks into the fold, doing some secret shopping for us, make a little extra cash, maybe get some free stuff along the way, and have a great time doing it. Also good for new, fresh faces if you're interested. Coming up, well, if you think you're getting scammed, particularly when it comes to secret shopping, there is a person in Iowa who is doing it and overseeing it out of the Consumer Protection Division of the Iowa Attorney General's Office. A name that's familiar with us if you're a fan of TV8 News for many, many years, Jeff Greenwood. You'll hear an interview with him coming up next in the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on 1350 KRNT.
Offer ends 12/31/10, not valid on prior purchase in stock only, excludes Fleet Municipal.
Hi, I'm Jim Bittner, General Manager of Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford, where we give you more. Great prices, great selection, oil changes for life, plus a $500 gift card. Hurry into Charles Gabus Ford for year-end savings on over 700 vehicles, plus a $500 gift card with every new vehicle purchase.
Big enough to serve you better, small enough to care, Charles Gabus Ford.
We have over 220 2011 Focuses and have priced 50 of them loaded with equipment for only $13,998. That's right, 50 brand new 2011 Focuses, your choice, all $13,998. Great selection and deals like this only available at Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford. And remember, don't be fooled by other dealers' ads. Gabus Ford sells for less.
Big enough to serve you better, small enough to care, Charles Gabus Ford.
Every day, more people are discovering Dahl's Pharmacy. Oh, it's been around since 1952, now in all 12 Dahl's Metro locations. Quietly doing things right. Prompt, courteous service, competitive prices, and real professionals who are happy to offer advice, discuss your Medicare options, or answer any questions you may have. Give your neighborhood Dahl's Pharmacy a try. You'll wish you'd done it sooner. And don't forget your flu shot. Walk-ins are welcome. Dahl's, expect more.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, the best of show this fine Saturday morning. My name is Johnny Wright, your host. Thank you for tuning in. Need a little help maybe crawling out of bed this morning after all that turkey and dressing, and the tryptophan is still, yeah, it's still hanging in. It still hasn't quite worn off. And I see a lot of turkey sandwiches in your future, and turkey surprise, turkey casserole, turkey ice cream, which there actually is a crazy thing like that, and just, you know, turkey. Sure, you make a turkey sandwich out of two pieces of turkey, and then you put, sure, a piece of turkey in between them. That's a kind of sandwich if you're a turkey fan. You know me, frankly, steak and lobster, I'll go that route. You eat what you like and enjoy it all weekend long. Well, one person who enjoys helping us when we are in a tough fix, particularly when we feel like we've gotten not treated properly by businesses, and particularly, more specifically, more recently, we've talked a lot about secret shopping scams. That is, companies that are not legitimate, who ask us to spend money, typically, in order to be part of a mystery shopping or secret shopping program. Jeff Greenwood, longtime KCCI News Channel 8 TV investigative reporter, is now works with the Iowa Attorney General's office. He's a spokesperson for that office, and he joined us one fine morning to talk about secret shopper scams and other things that get us and ways to avoid it. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Jeff, how'd you get into the Iowa Attorney General's office? Most of us get in there because we did something wrong. I'm assuming you did something right to get the communications director gig.
Yeah, well, I was a reporter at KCCI for about 22 years, covered primarily police and courts. So I've always had interaction with prosecutors and law enforcement. And a few months ago, it maybe seems like years already, even though it's been a couple of months, ran into the communications director, Bob Brammer, who was leaving the office, and struck up a conversation. He was putting in for retirement, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, what's the biggest, and there's some obvious differences that on the surface between the two jobs, but are there some obvious similarities in the two?
Well, yeah, there are similarities because I'm working with some of the same people I worked with on the other side, although in a different capacity. I mean, I had a lot of interaction with prosecutors and with judges, although I don't have much interaction with judges now in this new job, and obviously with the media, and I still have a lot of media friends that I'm working with in a different capacity, so it's been a very interesting transition. I think it made a lot of sense to take a job that was still in line with some of the work I was doing before. I mean, heck, I do some of these stories about bad guys and scammers, and now I'm talking about them in this job, so there are some similarities.
Does the press corps, and my only experience is just from a distance and looking at the White House press corps, when you sometimes have a reporter who often becomes the White House spokesperson, is the respect change? Do they look at you differently because you were once one of them?
Well, I think if anything, I get maybe a bit more respect, and the reason is they know who I am. I've been around here for a long time. They know how I work. They know that I was very straightforward in how I did my stories, and I tell it like it is. I was very fair, even if I had to cause a few bloody noses in my story. It was because they had it coming to them, and so I think that gave me a leg up in dealing with the media. They know that I'm still the same Jeff Greenwood that they knew a few months ago, and straightforward, and it's been a good transition.
Is there as a reporter, of course, for over 20 years, you're to be objective, and you were to present the facts, and you were to go get the facts, and to wherever that path may lead you. Is it a little different now in the Attorney General's office in the sense that you can't always be perhaps as forthright as maybe you'd like to be?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I can answer that question a couple of ways, but it's very factual here. I mean, obviously, we're dealing with legal issues, and we have to be right on what we're seeing. And if it's involving a lawsuit or criminal charges, we have to be dead on what we're saying. The difference is that, as a reporter, I'd always try to pry information out of people. And here, on this side of it, I am a bit more restricted on what I can say, and I know the tricks. I know somebody's going to call me and try to get a little bit more than what I may be allowed to say, and I just have to hold the line.
That's right. Yeah, come on, Jeff. We were buddies back in the day, right? Give me a little extra, and you say, no, I can't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Johnny, you keep calling me every day asking me for information about some of this stuff, and maybe eventually you're going to wear me down.
That's right. It's all about persistence. That's right, exactly. Our guest this morning is Jeff Greenwood. He is a spokesperson for the Iowa Attorney General's Office. We're here on 1350 KRNT. Well, Jeff, I get, as a professional secret shopper, I'm getting more and more inquiries of people who want to do the job, mystery shopping, as others call it, and there are so many scam artists out there. This seems to be one of those really fertile areas for scamming and ripping people off. Tell me, how many reports does your office get about this particular ripoff?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, one of the reasons why this is a popular topic is because, let's face it, and you could probably tell us better than anybody, it's a good gig. It's an interesting role that you play when you do that, and there really are legitimate mystery shoppers, and you know that better than anyone. But we also know that lure of sometimes, or the pitch, the sales pitch of easy money is fertile ground for a scam. And we know that here in Iowa, there are people who have been solicited to become mystery shoppers, and obviously everywhere else in the country. And unfortunately, there are scam artists who are preying upon their hope of getting this mystery shopper job. And maybe it's somebody who really needs just needs some kind of income, and they've really pinned their hopes on doing this. Or maybe it's somebody who looking for a little income on the side, or maybe it's somebody who just thinks, man, this sounds like fun. I'd love to do this. What do I need to do to get into this? And unfortunately, some of those people who want this really badly, they're getting preyed upon by scam artists. So we do get occasional calls in our Consumer Protection Division, and I know that others have filed complaints with the federal government, particularly the Federal Trade Commission, which has issued advisories about the mystery shopper scam, because a lot of this is tied in with the fake checks that are going around, and unfortunately they've got their stories down on what they're offering, and they offer this big promise, and people are sending them money, or they are falling for the scam, which is a pretty complicated and well thought out scam, and that's how it's taking people in.
And I want to come back to the consumer protection part of this, because I think that is so important, and the fact that the Attorney General's office has this division. But let's stay focused on mystery shopping. Jeff, how do I, as a typical consumer, how do I differentiate? I'm sure it's like counterfeit dollar versus a real dollar. Rottweiler. How do I know the difference between, what are some of the sort of telltale signs of a legitimate secret shopping company like my own versus a bogus mystery shopping company like the sort of complaints you get?
Well, first of all, many of the legitimate companies aren't necessarily seeking mystery shoppers. They may have a website out there, they may have a presence, but they're not necessarily sending you random emails saying that they are looking for mystery shoppers. So if you receive an email in your inbox that was unsolicited, there's a very good chance that that is a scam. You might also see some help wanted ads in the newspaper, or you might see something on Craigslist, and there's probably a pretty good chance that that as well is possibly not legitimate. Things like selling certifications, mystery shopper certifications. Well, you don't need a mystery shopper certification. These companies don't require those. They may be selling mystery shopping services like books or lists, and they may tell you they've got these guarantees that they'll get you a job as a mystery shopper, or they're charging you a fee for access to a list or a secret email that has these golden companies on there. Those are all indications that the company is not legit.
And really, you brought up, I thought that was one of the big sort of bright flashing red lights when it comes to mystery shopping scams, is when they ask you to say, hey, send us $39, and like you said, you get certified, or this gets you started, or $130, whatever it is. And I mean, my secret shoppers, you know, I would never ask them to give money. Why in the world? I mean, it's about making money, right?
Well, maybe you should start asking for money. Maybe you'll make more money that way.
That's right. Listen, I need to write this down. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so that to me is a real tip off, because I can think of no decent reason to ask people to make an investment in something that they should be getting paid for.
No, if you are a legitimate mystery shopper for a legitimate company, it shouldn't cost you anything. You're right.
And Jeff, what is the recourse? Let's say I'm a consumer and I invested, or I did, or I misstepped, and now I feel like the bozo on the bus and I'm embarrassed about it. Tell me about the recourse. What's the process that people go about complaining to your office?
Well, we can talk about recourse, but we also, I think, should also talk about prevention. So let's start with the recourse. If you do believe that you've been taken in by a scam, let us know. Call the Iowa Attorney General's Office Consumer Protection Division, or you can also contact us here through our website at iowaattorneygeneral.gov and go into the Consumer Protection Division. You can file a complaint electronically. You can also send one here to the office. You can email us through consumer@iowa.gov, or you can call us at 515-281-5926. I just gave you a lot of information out there. The easiest way might be go on the internet, type in Iowa Attorney General, and you'll get right to our site. It's iowaattorneygeneral.gov.
And so from the prevention, go ahead.
The Federal Trade Commission, because the federal government is also tracking this. You know, keep in mind that these scams primarily are international scams, and most of them are coming out of Canada. So in many cases, when someone is scammed, and this is not encouraging news for someone who has been scammed, most likely their money has gone outside of our borders, and it's very difficult, if not impossible in some cases, to recover losses for consumers. But the advantage of letting us know about that is it's possible that maybe there's some way that we can stop it quickly. But if not, at the least, we have a registry of who's doing this. The Federal Trade Commission has a registry of folks who are doing this. And it's hard to stop something that we don't know about.
And you talked about prevention, of course, way before we ever get the cold that's keep it from getting into our bodies. What are there clearing houses? And I should really know this better than you should, but if we want to know where the legitimate mystery shopping companies are and who they are, is there sort of a pre-filtering place we can go, or can we ask? Can we call the Attorney General's office on that, or is there a different way to go?
Well, the industry itself has standards for legitimate companies, and the industry keeps a registry of these companies at the following website, and that's MysteryShop.org. So you can actually go to the Mystery Shopping Providers Association website. I don't know if you knew that there was one or not, but there is a Mystery Shopping Providers Association, and they have their members listed on their website. So you can go into that website and take a look. In addition, it's got some pretty good tips of how to separate the good from the bad and the ugly. And hopefully you will get hooked up with an organization that is legitimate. But, you know, it goes back to a little bit about what we talked about earlier, and that is that you shouldn't have to pay a fee. It should be something that you sought out, not a random email. There's no certification. So you just need to do a little bit of homework. Go to that website or just do some. There's some message boards as well that you'll find out there that somebody might, if you have a company name, you might put that in there. Although I have to say that in some cases, they might even have a legitimate sounding company or sound alike. They might send you a check that looks like it's a very legitimate check, and they'll ask you to deposit it. They'll ask you to go to your mystery shopping, and that check is going to bounce. They might ask you to transfer. They might send you a check and ask for you to test even Western Union or MoneyGram and evaluate them and cash that check and then wire maybe a smaller amount. You're supposed to be able to keep the rest, but it's really a scam. So you'll see when you go to some of these sites how some of these scams work. We have some information on our website, but the Federal Trade Commission does as well. There's also not to keep throwing websites at you, but there's another one called IC3.gov, which focuses on internet crimes, and this is considered to be an internet crime.
Jeff, I have to ask you this, and I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but do you ever want to just, like, when somebody comes through the office and the consumer protection, and they've been scammed, and it's like a dude pulled up in a truck that had, you know, Cayman Island license plates, and said, hey, if you give me $100, I'll bring you back $500, and I'll be right back, just stay right there. I mean, it seems to us on the outside, like, this is really obvious. Why were you so dumb? Where's your sense of self-protection? Do you ever just want to take people and just, I mean, you got to keep your composure, but are you sometimes surprised at how these scams, and there's nothing new to these scams. These have been going on for hundreds. It's like the old shell game. Are you sometimes surprised that we're still being taken in by this stuff?
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all, and that's the same type of thing I ran into when I did stories on scams a reporter, and that is that in some cases there are people who are very desperate, and they are looking for any way possible to take care of their financial problems that they're having, and they want to believe that this is a quick fix. They want to believe that this is going to help them get back on their feet, and unfortunately, they're a bit more vulnerable. You also have a lot of older islands who are preyed upon. Some might be a little confused about who they're talking to, and these scam artists know. I mean, they know that the folks who are alert about this kind of stuff are going to hang up, or they're going to hit the delete button when they get an unsolicited email. But unfortunately, some of the more vulnerable folks who, again, are desperate or just don't have a full grasp of what's going on are going to respond to it, and that's who these people are taking advantage of.
Jeff Deaver, do you stay in touch with the gang at KCCI? Do you miss being on camera on a regular basis?
I don't miss being on camera. I do miss the people. It's a fantastic group to work with, and we still keep in contact, and it's a fun place to work, actually. It's in that business. You never know what's going to happen when you walk in the door. There's a lot of variety to it, and it's, I do miss being outside a little bit. We've had some fantastic fall days. This is a great weekend, this fall weekend, and these are nice days where you want to be outside. However, I know that when we have our fourth blizzard in January, and I'm watching that from the inside of the Attorney General's office as opposed to outside on the freeway telling you shouldn't be driving out here, I'm going to like it.
Sure, that's right. It'll go around and it'll come around. There's no question about it. about it. Well, Jeff, we have watched your career, those of us who've lived in this area all of our lives, and from KCCI, and what a wonderful jump, and we have grown up with you and learned to trust you, that you're a trusting man who has our best intentions in mind. And so how wonderful that you've now raised it to another level, and really at the pinnacle in many ways of what you've been doing for so many years. We're so grateful that you are there looking out for all of us and a spokesperson for a wonderful agency and Tom Miller and the whole gang. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
Jeff Greenwood, Iowa Attorney General's Office, 1350 KRNT. Great guy, super stuff. Hey, if you want to be a secret shop or work for a legitimate company, well, I got one right here for you, the Biosphere, my company. Go to johnny@theunsecretshopper.com. We don't go to that. You email me at Johnny, J-O-N-N-I-E, or just go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. All the contact stuff is there. If you'd like to just, if you're just curious about how to become a secret shopper, what it entails, what you do, you'll find out tons of information there, and you can contact me. We will get you hooked up. Well, speaking of employment, we know times are tough. We're getting a job out there sometimes, high unemployment and everything, but John Cullen with Executive Resources going to tell us all about how to land that job. What are the keys when you're in that recruitment place, you're in that interview? What are the things you do and don't do to make sure you land the job in your next interview? That is next at the best of the Unsecret Shopper radio show rolls on at 1350 KRNT.
Are you looking for excellence in auto service? Hi, I'm Ron with Westside Auto Pros. Most of us have heard of AAA's Four Diamond Award. This coveted award is presented to the finest restaurants and hotels all across our country, a symbol of unsurpassed quality. But did you know that AAA also has an award for auto service facilities? It's called the Top Shop Award. And out of all the AAA-approved repair shops and dealerships in the Des Moines area, Westside Auto Pros is the only one to receive this award 7 years in a row. What does this mean to you? Excellent service for both you and your car. Honesty, integrity, and a job well done is at the heart of everything we do. Come experience the Westside Auto Pros difference. We are on 92nd Court just off of Swanson Boulevard in Clive. Call 225-9090. That's 225-9090. Or visit us online at Westside Auto Pros, where you can register to win free gas. Westside Auto Pros, proud to be a top shop.
Hey folks, this is Bobby Hansen. I always took pride in being able to get up and down the court fast. And when it comes to deep winter snow, nothing gets me up and down my driveway faster than my Toro Power Clear Snow Thrower from Clive Power Equipment. This baby is so easy to use. It's got a push-button electric start that fires it right up and a patented power propel system, so there's no more pushing or lifting for you-know-who. I just grab the handles and away we go. Plus, this thing turns on a dime, and with its quick shoot control, the Power Clear lets me change shoot direction on the fly so I can get the driveway cleared and looking good before tip-off. Hey, take it from an old man who still thinks he's got a few moves left. The Toro Power Clear Snow Thrower has all the moves to help you beat old man winter. Check it out at Clive Power Equipment and tell him Bobby sent you.
Also check out the full line of Toro Power Max commercial grade two-stage snow throwers featuring the patented Power Max auger system that cuts down on clogging, interlocking levers for one-handed operation, and quick stick shoot control for quickly changing snow direction. See the complete line of Toro snow throwers at Clive Power Equipment, where the power is. 7600 University Avenue in Clive or 24/7 at clivepowerequipments.com. Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show, the best stuff on 1350 KRNT. My name is Johnny Wright. I won't leave you hanging, no. Always engage you. Well, you're probably used to maybe feeling like you're being hung out to dry. You've been applying for jobs. Yes, of course, unemployment's still high, and maybe you're dissatisfied with your job and you got out, or maybe you were unfortunately shown the door. That's been happening a lot, of course, throughout Central Iowa. And when you go to apply, you know, nothing is more humbling and just than going and knocking on doors and sending out your resumes. I remember 1 year, a 10-month period in my broadcasting career, I literally sent out over 400 resumes for openings across the country, and only one did I hear a callback? Did I hear a response? Did I get callback? And I eventually got that job, and it took me out to a wonderful position out on Long Island where I stayed for several years. But boy, they'll leave you hanging on the telephone or in the email, however we're trying to respond or get a response back from folks who hold the power of our purse in their hands. Those are the recruiters, the employment people, the HR people for those positions that we so desperately want to try to get hired and get those paychecks coming in and take care of our families and ourselves. What are the secrets to getting that call back, or should we be more proactive and call back ourselves? Well, John Cullen has been doing it a long time, works for Executive Resources as a recruiter, and he joined us one morning to give us tips, the insider scoop on how to pass, because it is pass-fail, an interview. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Well, John, tell me, how did you get to become a recruiter for Executive Resources? How did that happen?
You know, I was recruited here.
Yeah, well, sure.
Would be. You know, I'm an accounting finance recruiter here at Executive Resources for a little over a year now, and I got a call one day. I've been in the private sector accounting world for about 6.5 years prior to becoming a recruiter, so this is kind of a career change for me, but decided to go ahead and take that leap of faith and get into this business.
Now, so, John, I have to ask, before this, now, because they say that those that don't teach, did you ever have problems getting a job yourself over the years, or have you always been pretty solid in that regard?
You know, I've always had pretty good luck in that regard, so it wasn't very difficult, but I never experienced today's marketplace.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, I train employees all the time, and a lot of them say, you know what, I'm not terribly thrilled where I'm at, or I may be kind of happy, but I'm pensive about looking out there for something else, because this is a freaky, scary, crazy job world out there. Tell me what you see.
You know, when I first started, there was a little bit of reservations for anybody willing to change, and now that has pretty much changed in this marketplace. At the beginning of 2010, we started seeing a lot more people willing to look around and shop and get exposure to different opportunities. They say about over 60% of the people are unhappy in their current employment, so there are a lot of unhappy people at their current places, and there's a lot of opportunity out there that now they're willing to take the risk and say, yep, let's go ahead and make my life a little bit happier.
What are some of the reasons people are so unhappy that you see come across your desk in interviews?
You know, it's a little bit of a lot of people lost their jobs in today's economy, so and they never hired back, but the workload stays the same. So a lot of them felt overworked, undervalued. The raises and compensation over the past year and a half haven't been available. A lot of people either took pay cuts or took kind of standard raises, merit raises, if you will, and their workload increased, their hours increased, and so you get a little bit of resentment.
Well, John, I teach people to be happy in the workplace, and so it sometimes, because of exactly the kinds of things you're talking about, that can be so difficult to keep that smile on our face and greeting people and just acknowledging them and all the things that I teach about with my company. But the people that feel displaced, that are unhappy, that may come to you exactly for the reasons you've stated, how do they lose that unhappiness at the next place they go to?
That's one of those things where you really got to dig deep. You know, we can't help everybody, and usually we try to help those people that were happy in their employment. There are those poison pills out there that they're going to be unhappy anywhere they go. The grass is always greener somewhere else. And those are the people that we struggle placing. We, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, we try to seek those successful people that were really excelling, that maybe got their career progression stopped for one reason or another, whether it be the economy, whether it be kind of their employer. And so we try to gear towards helping those individuals, those top performers that were happy at one point, still happy, but maybe interested in something new.
My guest this morning is John Cullen. He is a recruiter for Executive Resources, a recruitment firm locally owned and operated here in beautiful Des Moines, Iowa on 1350 KRNT. All right, John, well, then that speaks to the next question. What filtering process when you bring in someone who's come to you and say, hey, I'm looking for new work, what do you got out there? What are some of the filtering? Do you have certain Q&As you look for because you want to find people that aren't necessarily disgruntled and aren't going to spray their stench on the next employer that they go to? What are some of the cues for that?
You know, we bring them into a face-to-face interview, and we've got a lot of experience here in our office, especially, and so we can pick up on those tendencies. We've got some predictive index testing that we can apply if we don't get a clear picture off the interviews that we get, and we also check references. You know, whether they're employed, if they're employed, it's hard to check their current employer, obviously, but Des Moines is a small community, and there's usually somebody out there, or you've gotten exposure to some of those candidates or those companies and know what kind of quality they can present.
What is the number one biggest mistake people make in an interview?
It really depends. Probably the biggest one that I see are not being professional, being a little bit too relaxed in that interview. It's the time to impress. It's the time to get on your soapbox and speak out, but not to be that, you know, arrogant or cocky person in the same regard. So it is a kind of a balancing act, and it's definitely a learned skill. And so hopefully we can coach them on that, but you can't change what you are, I guess.
Well, and John, it also speaks to something. I know you've only been with Executive Resources for a year, but it seems to me that there has been a generational shift as younger people are sort of speak to what you said about seem more into their eye, their own, where they're at, as opposed to being empathetic and being able to play a role in an interview process. And of course, it's all a balance because we don't want to come off as being phony.
Right.
But the truth is that happy people tend to get good jobs. And when they present themselves as happy and professional, even though they be, you know, they may be hurting inside and broken and busted up, but the key is not to show that. How have you seen the generational changes? Do older people interview better than younger people, or is there a trend?
You know, younger people seem to interview better. I think they have a lot more interaction. The older people usually haven't changed jobs in the last 10 years. And so this is kind of a new place for them. And they are real skeptical. You know, they're a little bit reserved and a little bit, instead of going in to impress and here's what I can do for you, they'll come in and kind of say, what can you do for me? Here's what I've been the last 25 years. I'm looking for something the same. And so you end up kind of having that generational gap where, you know, you got mistakes by the rookies and you got mistakes by the veterans.
A sense of entitlement, I suppose, people that have been doing it with that 10,000-yard stare for a long time. And how do you, when you see someone, let's say an older person who has that, has been with the same company 20, 30 years, and you see some habits in the interview which are embedded in which you say to yourself, wow, you know, if not for those things, this would probably be a great candidate, great resume, been very successful. Can you train that out of them at that point?
You can give them advice. Well, I don't try to coach people to become what the company wants. You know, they have to be that person to begin with. And so that's where you contact a lot of people and you keep going through those. So you don't try to fit that square into a circle hole.
Well, John, if people are listening to this, and I get bombarded all the time with people looking for employment possibilities for my own company, the Biosphere, with secret shopping and other things, and so we know a lot of people are in some bad spots out there. Either they're underemployed or they're employed, but they're unhappy or they're flat-out unemployed. Tell them, hey, if you're interested, we've got openings. This is a good economy. There's still possibilities out there, opportunities. How do they get in contact with you, and what should they expect if they go through the matrix of Executive Resources?
You know, they can expect a great service. We've been 28 years here, locally owned and operated here in the Des Moines marketplace. That's our niche. We know the companies well. We've had success in it. You know, our phone number here is 515-287-6880 if they want to call in. Feel free to submit a resume, and if we have an opportunity for them, you know, we'll reach out to them.
And, Jen, I have to ask last question. How did – you mentioned you got recruited by Executive Resources. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you were doing your gig, and you were fine, and then somebody who knew you said, hey, this dude would really do well for you, and then you got a call?
Yeah. It's something that obviously I was looking for a career change, going into more of a recruiting role than an accounting role, and so – you end up getting that call. It was actually kind of a connection through a connection. I'd used this recruiter in the past, and she kind of knew what I was looking for and thought, you know, you may be a great fit for us.
Well, you just proved it is all about who you know, not what you know.
That's right.
Absolutely. John Cullen with Executive Resources. It's been a great pleasure joining us this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
John Cullen, Executive Resources recruitment guy. Boy, it does a wonderful job with it. And all those little things that add up and mean something. And just, you know, it's not a recruiter. It's not an HR person you're sitting across from. Boy, it's another human being. And so, man, they're looking for it, though. They want to see smiles and greeting and engage. Really pillars of great customer service also apply in that interview process. You know, I was always good about I could get the job just, you know, hanging on to it. Well, sometimes the chase versus when you get it, what are you going to do with it now? This is the best of the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT. Hope you've enjoyed it this morning. Hope you're enjoying Thanksgiving with your family. And hope you enjoy coming up next. Speaking of Thanksgiving, an oldie but a goodie, a song. We're going to sort of step away from the customer service stuff for to close out the show. And, well, a song which pays a proper tribute to the idea of Thanksgiving coming up next. This is the Unsecret Shopper radio show, the best of 1350 KRNT.
This year, everyone needs a flu shot. At Dahl's Pharmacy, walk-ins are welcome. Flu shots are covered by Medicare and most insurance programs. This year's vaccine protects for 1 year against H1N1 and the seasonal variety. Ask your Dahl's pharmacist about cholesterol screening, INR level screening, a medicine review, plus pneumonia and shingles vaccines. Dahl's accepts all insurance programs. Since 1952, the neighborhood pharmacy you can trust. Dahl's. Expect more.
It's time to save thousands on a new Kia at Des Moines Imports. Hi, this is Matt Sokolowski, manager at Des Moines Imports, here to tell you how to double your cash. Kia offers thousands in customer cash. Right now, Des Moines Imports will double that cash. Convenience and value come together in the Kia Sedona minivan. Double your customer cash and save thousands on Sedona, a Consumer's Digest Best Buy, and a safety fortress with 6 airbags and a 5-star crash test rating. With all the savings, 2011 Sedona vans are just $21,800, or choose low 0% APR financing. That's right, new 2011 Sedonas, just $21,800. Kia, the power to surprise with its 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Hurry in, double cash back won't last long at Des Moines Imports. Import quality for thousands less. One block north of I-80-35 at the Highway 141 exit, or 24/7 at DesMoinesImports.com.
Price includes all offers plus TTL, 0% APR for 36 months available with approved credit.
Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show, the best of 1350 KRNT. As you enjoy Thanksgiving, continued over the weekend. Yeah, a lot of food to be working through before you know Monday gets here. So, signs at the grocery store. Well, they talk about every year. You know, they calculate, the American Farm Bureau calculates the cost of Thanksgiving dinner, and you know, every year it goes up. I mean, it's fairly predictable it's going to do that. Well, the cost of a turkey, you're breaking it on down, 2009 cost actually was $18.65. This year's cost, $17.66. Now, this is for a turkey. Let's see. How big is this turkey? Well, it doesn't say right here in my number. So it actually went down. Yeah. Now, flour, eggs, and other ingredients, your 2009 cost for you people to go out and buy this stuff. I just eat this stuff. I don't know how much it costs. $6.91. 2010 cost $8.16. Stuffing, $2.65 in 2009, $2.64. So it went down a penny this year. Cost of sweet taters, $3.12. Versus $3.19 this year. Peas, they're down a little bit. Cranberries, does anybody eat those? I guess some people. They're about even. Relish tray, carrots and celery, that's up a little bit. Pumpkin pie is up a bit. Total cost, this is what you're concerned with, about 1.3%. Dinner in 2009 cost is $42.91. This year, $43.47. Not bad for a family of four. You know, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. Well, to leave you with a little something this morning, way to celebrate it with the great Adam Sandler and the Thanksgiving song. I hope you definitely enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be back here live next Saturday morning with the Unsecret Shopper radio show at 1350 KRNT.
All right, Adam, are you ready?
Yes, I am, Kevin. I've worked all week on my song, and I hope you'll be entertained and a little moved. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat so good. A turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey, turkey dee, turkey, turkey dap. I eat that turkey and I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. turkey with the gravy and the cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded down a strawberry. Turkey for you and a turkey for me.
La 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 la. This is called the radio edit.
Gobble, gobble, ducky. I used to go to camp at Lake Winter push hockey. Come on, Kevin.
No, that's okay.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Okay.
The turkey song, the Thanksgiving song, a bit of a turkey, yes, from the Adam Sandler, an old SNL skit. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. There's still more of it. They've got the one day, but yeah, why stop there? You got plenty of leftovers. There's shopping to do, of course, if you're doing the extension of Black Friday. Now, can it be a gray Saturday? Does it have to be black, or is it weather looks pretty nice for the rest of the weekend? Remember, that parking's going to be tough. There's going to be people, crowds, and lines, so just go in with a smile on your face. Just do it with a smile. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll catch you back here. And if you want more information on anything we've talked about this morning, you go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. That is a blog where I write reviews, secret shopping reviews of restaurants and retail outlets and all sorts of things. Plus, you can reach out to me at Johnny@theunsecretshopper.com. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving.